Welcome to another edition of Two Guys and a Bottle of
Miller Lite, Jägermeister,
Tito's,
Sierra Nevada,
Jack Daniels,
Captain Morgan,
Jimmy Dean,
Tequila,
Giant Morgan,
Budweiser,
Jameson,
Glen Levitt,
Fireball,
Root Beer,
Contact,
Blackie,
Soko,
Deuce Eckies,
Ingray,
and George Pickle,
and don't forget Dick and Cider.
Or whatever you're having.
What's happening?
What is happening?
I'm all
got a message from Scott. That's our robot. What are we working on? We're working on the robot bartender.
Robot bartender
coming soon
to
next to a town near you.
Very nice. Very nice.
Two guys in a bottle of Scooter and a Preacher Man.
Well, it's been a minute.
We're working on episode 9.5 for you guys right now.
We are. This is a little special introductory to the introductory of episode 10. So
right,
it takes a little longer to put that together, and we're learning all this stuff. So we thought we'd just make sure we gave you a little heads up. So we release a show yet this weekend, and we'll get one out to you. Get one out to you in the meantime, just to let you know. But we're shooting for the 21st.
21st, episode 10.
Episode 10, so gives you a couple weeks
to tell
everybody you know and get everybody on board, and we're going to try to have the podcast out that night, and we should be nailing down a time, so keep an eye on Facebook or whatever so we can let you know when we're going to have the Facebook live streaming. So if we can figure all that out between now and the 21st, we'll be out there Facebook Live, I'm guessing, probably somewhere around 5, 6 o'clock. So,
possibly.
Keep your eyes open on the Facebook page. And
once we get the camcorder up and running. We'll try to get it going. Try to get something video.
try to notify you.
Right.
And if not, you can always find the podcast wherever you find it. And the best way to get there.
We're always 100% audio for sure.
And we'll even probably take whatever we record that day for episode 10 and get it out on YouTube eventually as soon as I figure out how in the world to do that. So,
I'll tell you what, people have been asking me, man, are you guys, YouTube?
Yeah, I haven't even played with YouTube yet. But once we have the video, I mean, we're not really supposed to put strictly audio out on YouTube. It's supposed to have video associated with it, so it's either editing the hell out of it and putting all kinds of pictures and stuff with your podcast, or the easiest way is just whatever we record video wise we'll get that out on YouTube.
Well, they make it look easy,
See,
I thought that there was only 15 minutes on the thing.
There is. You can do a whole.
There's another guy out there. They're telling me he's got like an hour and a half show.
Well, you can, but they're in 15-minute increments, so you have to record.
That would make sense.
Record, cut. So you could do
if we had to do that to this.
Exactly. So imagine that 2-hour show. So every 15 minutes, we'd have to create another block and call it episode 1-1, episode 1-2, episode 1-3.
Right. Well, we could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the way, that's what they're doing.
You can do it. I got my hands full.
Right. Whoa. Right off the rip. Got sidelined. Yeah.
Either that or hire a producer.
I didn't know that was in you right now,
I think,
man.
Our current temporary podcast bartender producer, I already put that on one of our previous episodes that we were now hiring positions for producers, so that's already out there. So
I was going to bring that up to you. We need some help.
Right? One way or another, well, we've needed help for a long time, so this is nothing new, really. But
this is our help. This is our therapy. This is therapy.
Yeah, for sure.
Help me help you.
Yep. So
I made Scott start recording.
Yep. Well,
so
sooner or later
you get right now. We do have some other stuff in front of this that we were talking about. Want to talk about it or no? The t-shirts. Because I'm going to say it.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, not tonight. Thank you, Robot Bartender. We do have an audio voice of you soon. Coming soon. We don't have it.
Grabs you by the boo-boo, don't
I said that the other day. Last night to my brother. So Timmy and Chris and all those guys were joking around at the end of the bar.
Okay.
And fucking just got right up under Chris, man. The guy, what are you doing, man? I was like, kind of gets you by the boo-boo, doesn't it? They were having a good time, man. They're all playing slap ass, man. Awesome. Was, oh. Yeah, it was a different kind of crowd in there.
Yeah, those kind of nights with just you and your buddies, or you know, they're
oh,
they're,
it was all of them.
That's almost as much fun, you know, as going out with a, you know, a girl or some couples, you know, or whatever. That's those nights with just you and the guys with no, you know, yeah, your close buddies.
That can, oh yeah, they were all there. Well, what happened? It was just going to be. I'll just tell you real quick. It just happened to be a small little gathering.
Can you say this on the air?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, right. just gonna be a little small little gathering.
Didn't know if I had to make an edit point.
No. Small little gathering, and they were just gonna hang out and do this, and this, and you know, kind of a typical Wednesday, I guess. Oh no. Right in the middle of just a couple drinks and just hanging out, gets a phone call. Guy says that he threw his old lady out. And now everybody's coming to the bar to have a, oh, poor me, you know, party.
Yep.
But they were actually celebrating. Okay. So.
Well, he must have been happy about it.
Yeah. Well, he kind, you know, when you look at someone, it's like, you know, no matter how bad, it kind of does hurt. You know, you could see that they're still sad or mad or whatever emotions you got to go through, you know. But yeah, he was in it, but he was still smiling a little bit.
Well,
he was with his buddies.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
making them feel better.
And that's the best thing, you know. You know? A lot of times that seems when that happens is you know, it's, and I've got a couple buddies just like that. I mean, we might not see each other for months and months or sometimes years, you know, but these are my buddies through and through from the time I was a young teenage years. And when something happens for whatever reason, somebody's down the dump, somebody got dumped, somebody lost a family member, something's going on, we're always all together, just yep. like flies. You
oh,
know?
Yeah.
And it's
no matter what, it's actually unwritten that you need to even do that. Everybody,
yep.
everybody comes together.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. It's good stuff.
Come together.
So besides all that,
right now,
your work schedule, how was your Labor Day weekend?
Labor Day, I worked all weekend.
Did you really?
I sure did. I was there pretty much every day.
Yeah, I guess you would have been.
Yep. Yeah, we didn't get the bartender that was on duty. She did not come back until after Labor Day, so she had the whole 2 weeks off.
Okay, nice.
Which was good for her. I mean, hey, I took my 2 weeks off before that, you know,
right?
And
right.
So does everybody else around
yeah,
there.
I guess
it's just that time.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that you were working the whole weekend through. So
no, didn't. Yeah, really didn't bother me, man. Kept me busy. So,
well, I just so you know,
there's a lot of different people out there, though.
I just want to let you know that
coming in from town and stuff.
I went out and hid in the woods for 4 days.
You did invite me,
and
I regret not calling you. But there was some stuff that popped up.
Yep, and you'll have that.
And I was gonna call you, and I didn't want to make excuse not to, but. Yeah, it just wasn't going that. It was that just that kind of day.
Yeah, no. So. Well, by the time the end of Saturday came around, I was kind of just sitting around, relaxing, drooling on myself because my mind finally let go and I forgot about everything for 3 days and went.
I know.
This is awesome.
Chris sent me a pic of you in the hammock out there at the property.
Yeah, isn't that sweet? Yeah, Connor and I had the hammock set up on
sure
each side of the campfire
nice.
And just hung out around the fire pit and cooked
that.
On it. And
I did that once when we went out there. We were
warmed up from it and
we just chilled. We chilled way out.
Just a weekend around the campfire, and it was good stuff. It was very refreshing and very,
mm-hmm.
very nice until Monday came along.
Got that fresh air. Yeah, you get that in you, man. It does wonders. It's a different kind of environment.
Yes.
You know, that's, basically.
Yeah, it's a, yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
I was
actually looking forward to bringing some of my guns out there and just mowing down some trees.
Yep.
I'm sure there were some trees that needed to come down.
Well, it won't be the last trip out there. I guarantee
that. Oh, I
know
that.
Because it's funny you say that. That was one thing when we were going out there is the boy said that he wanted to do is I want to do some shooting this weekend, Dad. And I said, that's great. I said, hunting season's coming. What do you want to try? I'll tell you what. I made a joke. I was talking to a friend of mine and I made a joke about it. But I said, this is this is the safest place out of Greenwood right now. It was you I was talking to.
Yeah.
It was you I was talking to. It's the safest place in all of Greenwood. That car is so loaded up with guns, stuff he wanted to try. So I'm like, hey, take it. Whatever.
Man,
it's the best place to do it.
Right. I've been seeing more and more T-shirts, NRA and gun. I mean, it's out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people are, you know. They're on board with it for sure.
Well, do you know California just named the NRA terrorist organization? Domestic terrorist organization.
Yeah. There are people that talk about it that say that they have lost interest in the NRA.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when they started or when they were part of it before, it morphed into something else, and you know. They're not quite happy with it. I mean, it has to exist, but people, I don't know. They just don't seem like they're very happy right now.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't. That's what they say.
I don't think. Well, if you want to generate some fresh emails, all we got to do is get into one of the gun debates or the NRA debates or any of that kind of stuff, and that'll get ugly fast. So,
oh, we were talking about last night.
It's kind of like politics and religion. We just all good topics to avoid.
Well, that's ironic that we even went there to there, because all those people that were there last night, my brother and everybody, we all took the class together.
Okay.
I can go on with the names, but yeah, there was probably about seven of us, and we all got our CPL. So, yeah, I kind of even forgot about that until just like right now, popped in there.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're all gun toting, CPL.
Nice.
Not in the bars. We don't do that in the bars.
No, never in the bars.
But it was open carry, concealed permit. You know, the different rules that you have to learn every year. You should probably update yourselves.
Unless you go to Walmart. Did you hear about that?
Somebody put that out there. And
they just released that
yesterday.
They're
like, they don't care if they sell ammo in there. I just don't want to get shot at a Walmart or something. in my pajamas. I could probably go. I could probably go find the thing that I seen about it. But yeah,
I know if you know. And the thing is, if you've ever been, and I don't know what it's like in your town, but if you've ever been to a Walmart after 10 o'clock on a weekend, it's probably one of the places that you need to carry a gun if you can, because it's not always the safest establishment in the neighborhood. So I hope if they're gonna ban ammo and bullets and people carrying, that they're gonna at least bring in some extra security guards, because I've been on that Walmart in our town at 12 o'clock at night on a Saturday, and let me tell you, buddy,
I won't do it anymore.
That's a weird experience.
I won't. Especially after 12 o'clock, because one thing is, nothing good ever happens after 12 o'clock.
That's what my daddy always used to say.
I've been hearing that more and more, too. Second of all, after 12 o'clock, you have to check out your own crap.
Oh, really?
So if you think you're going in there and going to walk out with two grocery carts full of crap, you're going to ring it yourself and bag it and take it to your car all by yourself.
Yep, nice.
I almost left like $200 worth of crap sitting there one day because I was so mad that there wasn't any open, lines to get into like a real person. No, I was not happy. I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave this shit sitting right here, man. I'm weird up. For the love of God!
Well, you know, and I had to laugh at that when I saw that, because I'm like, are you kidding? You're gonna quit selling guns. Well, just in Alaska, I think that's one of the few places they sold guns. But they're gonna quit selling handguns in Alaska, and they're gonna quit selling ammo in any one of their stores, because now they're the victims of it. So they finally want to get on board because they're the victims of it. So it's time for them to step up and say they're the victims. But I mean, it's Walmart, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why? You know, I don't know. How do you want to look at it? So you're gonna quit selling auto parts next time somebody gets killed by a car?
Sure.
Like somebody, some terrorist mows down 8 people and
I think we were just watching Dave
York?
Chappelle, and he just said something about that.
Or whatever. I mean, what comes next? You're gonna ban the dairy section because people are dying of cholesterol every day. So, I mean, seriously,
you want this list to go on and on?
Yeah, I know. Why didn't you just shut down the store? Amazon's out there anyway. So what's the difference? You know, I mean, it's
about an ice cream liquor,
but
oh yeah,
that's
another.
I don't
story.
Care. They're going to do what they want to do.
Sure.
And I was never much a supporting Walmart, anyways. It's never been my favorite place. But
well, here he goes. He goes, while I am a pro gun, or while
who's this?
I am. This is my buddy. I can't. I'm not.
Okay.
Gonna,
oh no, that's
not
fine.
Not going to throw him out there.
Gotcha.
Just something that he put on Facebook. It says, while I am pro gun, I'm okay with Walmart not selling ammo. If someone's going to shoot me, I don't want it to be someone in effing PJs. That's what he said.
All right. Well,
I don't want to get shot by somebody in their pajamas.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the home of the pajama people.
They sell enough of them up there.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And it's not one size fits all.
No, not at all.
Where's that section at? Bet you don't hear that when you walk in the door. Hey, where's the one size fits all section?
They don't have that. Hey, did you hear about the Detroit company that's going to start making Gibson guitars in Michigan again?
No.
Coming back to Michigan.
But I think who, man, I'm so mad right now at myself that I can't remember who made the, who's the one, the good one in from Michigan. Stratocaster, Fender.
Fender.
Or,
I believe. Man, boy, I don't want to misquote myself.
No. So let's just get off that real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot.
No, now I'm guessing.
No, I know there's a.
No, I don't think Fender.
They can be
Fender
really
Chicago.
Mad. They can be.
I, you know what? I would have to
Epiphone.
Look that up. Epiphone.
I think it's Epiphone.
Well,
it is made in Michigan. Epiphone. Yep.
Echo Park Guitars started in 2008. Has personally made instruments for players like Aerosmith's Joe Perry, Jackson Browne, Charlie Starr, Josh Homme, Joe Bazama.
Yeah, he's
yep.
The
Larry Everybody's McRae, Jim Vivino, and many more. But yeah, so apparently they're bringing Gibson back to Detroit.
Is that Kalamazoo? That's where I grew up in.
That's where Gibson originally was. Yeah. Yep. Gibson founded back in 1894 in Kalamazoo, shifted production to Nashville between 74 and 84.
My uncles are all woodworkers, and they're, you can go on my Facebook and find them, Woodchuck Incorporated. But yeah, that's what I used to do when I was a kid, all kind of woodworking stuff.
Nice.
So I'm gonna put something together. I'm gonna call my cousin, uncles up there and see what they got going on, what they know about Gibson and Kalamazoo.
Do it.
I will.
Do it. Yeah. Find out.
Your
more.
Dog keeps licking my nose.
Yeah, he's like that. Hey, did you hear about Eddie Murphy coming back to Saturday Night Live after 35 years?
I thought they told him he couldn't come back. There's like 25. I did like a top 25 thing that I had to myself that I was going to tell you about.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, instead of a top 11. But it was
top 25.
It was something the about Saturday Night Live. The top 25 people that have been banned from ever coming back to Saturday Night Live.
Oh,
yeah. So well, I think I actually saved that to my messenger. So
apparently they made amends because they're talking. Let's see, when was this show scheduled to air?
Well, your dog will not let me pet it.
October 5th, I think. Hi, October 12th.
I know.
Yep. Yep. So, Eddie Murphy coming back.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'll have to keep an eye on that and see what it is. It's
I'm Gumby, damn it.
So, how about that hurricane?
Well, didn't do what it was supposed to do. Thank God, because there's so many people down there that I know. And it just kind of went, hit the Bahamas.
There was. As crazy as that
went. Totally, other way, right up the coast.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not. It's really not the worst thing that it's kind of doing this, because if it would have just, it would have took out Florida. It is the biggest, most massive one that they said could just devastate.
Well, look
Florida.
At. Did you see what it did to the Bahamas? You see any of that footage?
Oh, it's just, yeah.
I mean,
20 confirmed dead right now.
And fortunately, when it came through,
that I just seen yesterday.
The main Bahama islands. It came like right between the two of them. And missed Haiti and missed the DR and I mean,
Dominican
it just
Republic.
everything about that storm has been so incredibly miraculously lucky for most people. I mean, unfortunately, the islands there at the top side of it, they got 18 hours of 185 mile an hour wind.
Yeah, because it just slowed. It
just
stalled
right on top of it.
And it wasn't moving very fast anyway, but it just stalled and just.
Yeah,
you know.
And you're right. Fortunately for everybody in Florida, that thing didn't come straight across and rip right through Florida, because that would have been an absolute disaster.
Do I remember, did we talk about the couple times I stayed through the hurricanes?
I don't know if we talked about it on the show or not,
right.
But
first of all, you don't jump off a frickin'.
Refresh a little bit of that.
What are you doing? No more potty breaks during the show.
No, tell us a little bit of that story. Because I don't think we actually talked about it on the show. So,
all right, I'll give you one scenario real quick. So, yeah, we're sitting in the on the island at Captiva, and I don't remember exactly which hurricane is coming through, but we're at a private resort, and me and my buddies, we're all living down there. And we decide, no, we're going to stay for the hurricane, okay? Now, there's 600 people, employees on this resort, and 300 of them live in housing. And we're the only four people that stayed behind. I can name their names and tell you the whole thing, but yeah. So we stay. We figure we got enough of this. We got enough of that. You know, we'll be fine. Nope, not a good idea. I'm going to describe the storm coming into you from over the Gulf of Mexico. 86, 87, 88, right around there. So that was a long time ago. That was 30 years ago. Yeah, probably around 20, 21, 22. Yeah. Maybe even a little younger because I think I turned 21 down there. Yeah, I had my first real beer in a bar. Yeah, long time ago. So, yeah, the storm's coming in. And check this out. It's like 100 miles wide. And this thing looks like a giant jellyfish crawling on top of the Gulf of Mexico. The lightning's coming down. And this thing is just crawling at us, man. It's freaking evil, nasty, wicked, mean. We're like, yeah, we got this, man. Boom. 100 feet of beach, gone. Wow. Second story, water's up to the first floor. We're on the second floor. We decide to stay, four of us. We got some weed. We got some beers. Now, second story, here's the water coming in through the bottom of the door. No electricity. It's a blackout. And this thing's growling and moaning and just evil. So now we're sitting on the tables and the chairs because the water's on the second floor coming up over into housing here. And we're like, we're going to die. We're going to drown. The only way is if the roof. Now, if the water goes over the top of the second story roof, we are definitely going to float out to sea and no one's ever going to find us because the cars are already getting swept up underneath the, you know, the housing there.
How far is Captiva from the mainland?
Captiva, you have to go over a causeway onto another island, which is Sanibel Island, which is beautiful. And then after Sanibel, you go over another bridge, and that's Captiva.
Okay.
But what happened, it was all one island back in 64, and a hurricane, I think I'm going to say Donna, came through in 64 and ripped the islands right apart.
Okay.
So that's why Sanibel, Captiva. So yeah, we are going to die. And here comes nothing. We're in the eye of the storm, and this thing just starts moving backwards. Everything's going in reverse the way it came in.
Wow.
Washing everything away. Next day, beautiful. Sun's out. Birds are chirping. Seagulls are... We're like, we lived. We lived. We so lived, man. We didn't see another human face for about 3 days. What's that? Since everybody evacuated.
You don't remember the name of the storm?
No, I do not remember the name of the storm. I'd say Andrew or, I mean, there's so many of them, but yeah, cannot remember the name of the storm. But yes, it came through.
Probably be about the right time as Hurricane Andrew.
Yeah, but I don't think it was Andrew. It might have been Andrew, man.
But Andrew's the one that came in through Miami,
through
wasn't
Miami
it?
And Homestead, yeah. Yeah. Took out Homestead. Yeah, that was a wicked one. But there's so many names. I really don't remember them all because they have them alphabetical, and it's like they keep naming them every time they keep coming over. So it's like,
right,
you know, it's like, okay, which one is this? Which one is this? Which one is this? Which one's this? Which one's this? But yeah, everybody remembers the big ones. But anyway, yeah, they say mandatory evacuation, and you're on a basically excluded island from nowhere in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. Not a good idea, dude. No one's going to find you, ever.
No.
You're going to float away.
Right.
And there ain't no help.
Yeah, because they don't even really truly know you're there.
They don't even know you're there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the craziest thing I ever did.
Yeah.
Besides, the second one almost died. I'll make it real quick. Do not jump off a pier after a hurricane. When you think the waves are really big and the hurricane's gone. Yeah, we jumped off the Fort Myers Beach pier and got stuck in undertow. Everybody's yelling at us, and we cannot.
Pull them back out.
Dude, we just couldn't. We just, you know, you got 15 swells, and we're looking at the beach, and then there's nothing. And then 15, you know, and we're on boogie boards because we're just going to boogie right back in, ride the waves in. No, dude, we're in a fucking undertow, and we're going out to sea.
Wow.
So now we lock arms and join arms, and we're kicking and paddling, and weird things are floating by us. We don't even know. And everybody on the pier starts yelling, and everybody on the beach starts pointing sideways. You know, when we can see them on each top of the wave. So we figured it out. We're like, we're in an undertow. Swim sideways. You know?
Yeah.
That's what you do. You swim sideways out of the undertow. 45 minutes later, after we jumped in the pier, we were, all three of us were physically exhausted. We laid on the beach for about an hour because we couldn't breathe. We had hypothermia. We were jacked the F up, man.
Lucky to be alive.
Again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Duh. I'm telling you, hurricanes ain't no joke, man. So anyway, yeah, we just laid there for an hour, man, trying to get our strength. Our legs were rubber. We couldn't even walk. Arms, everything is just, we were just like dead jellyfish flopping around on the beach out there.
But it looked like fun when you started.
It sure did, because we were crazy enough to do it. Yeah, at 20 years old, yeah. Hey.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Oh, no, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Holy moly.
Could have been real terrible.
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
I got a bunch of more stories, but
we'll save those.
We'll save one out there.
So
there's the two hurricane, and those are 100% fact, Jack.
Wow.
Yeah, that really happened.
Well, God bless everybody down in the Bahamas, because that's just a sad mess. So, and thank God the U.S.
The
Coast Guard's already down there helping, and I'm sure we're going to offer whatever aid we can for them. And I think the British sent stuff right away. I think the Navy was there within the first day. So that's
well, I'm going to tell you this, folks, and this ain't punny or funny, but thank God it wasn't Cuba.
Right.
I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So,
Or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico and Cuba.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did not. Do you know what I'm going to say, or should I not say it?
Oh, I don't. I'm
no,
sure.
We really didn't give them much aid. Remember Trump was
Well, no, that's Puerto Rico you're talking about.
Was it Puerto Rico?
Yeah, that's Puerto Rico.
I swear to God, I thought it was Cuba.
No, that was one of our territories, yeah. Yeah, that was Puerto Rico last year.
Last year. I thought it was Cuba.
No. Nope,
Puerto Rico, absolutely correct, yes. So that's why I was kind of touchy.
Yeah.
Because they got really mad at us.
Yeah, I know.
And I think Trump was really mad at them. Well, I can go on.
I've heard a few stories about that. So,
But yeah, when you cut, is what I heard is they to build the wall, he was going to cut the National Relief Fund, and like $23 million, kind of what I heard.
That's what he just did. Yeah, he just reallocated funds to the border, to the CBP for the most part, just so they could. I don't remember exactly. I'd have to look that up to tell you exactly how that all played out. But yeah, he just reallocated funds. So no matter what, even if this would have been a devastating hurricane, all we'd be hearing today is how perfect everything went, how good FEMA had their support where they needed it and how much money was available. And, but yeah, it's the old hide the cup game no matter what. I mean, you never know what they're telling you is how much of it's truth and how much of it's bullshit and how much they're feeding you.
Well, I tell you this, man, from my knowledge, which I'm not going to talk about right now, the FEMA camps, I'm just going to say FEMA camps. And if you know where I'm going, you'll understand.
Right?
If not, do a little research.
Yeah.
Because I really don't want to get in trouble for that.
Don't go too far down that road, because you know too much more than you should about that
really
topic.
I really do.
So,
I really, really do.
Yeah, you gotta cut that road short a little bit. So
what I'm going to say is, to keep me out of trouble, is watch a movie called Zeitgeist. Now, I'm a huge Zeitgeist phenomenon. I'm just a fan. Peter Joseph's great. There's three movies, and they're all Zeitgeist. They're actually on YouTube. You can watch them or Google them or however you get them, but they're out there. But if you watch Zeitgeist, the movie, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
All right.
So I'm going to leave that alone. I do have a copy of it, and I might have to let you guys borrow that.
Very good.
And if not, do your research, and you can email us and get a hold of me on the website, and we'll talk about it further.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever watched any of it. No.
Quite a whole bunch of knowledge all at one. Like if you just went and did like a super class at college, and you just got all this information like in 2 hours, that's what it does to you.
Okay.
And you got to watch it like 10 times just to absorb everything, because it's just so much information they just put out at you.
Perfect.
But it's all there's three sections of the first movie, and they all talk about politics and money and, you know, just other stuff.
So, very good.
Okay, well, I'm done. Well, we'll you better shut me up.
No, we'll leave it at that.
I'll really just keep going.
So you remember our buddy Darren McCarty?
Yeah.
Did you hear? Did you
I have shook hands with Darren McCarty, just
have
so
you?
Everybody knows.
Good for you.
And I have a signature on my jersey.
That's awesome. Yep. He's one of my favorites over the years.
Oh, he's been a great guy.
Did you hear what he's up to lately?
Mm-mm. Besides rock and roll band?
Besides rock and roll band. Darren McCarty, you know, obviously has four Stanley Cups under his belt, right?
Yes.
And he's retired. But he wants a fifth cup with a new team that won't require him to lace up his skates.
Okay.
Guess you haven't heard from Darren McCarty in a while, eh?
No.
Okay, you have no idea what he's into. Well, here, let me tell you.
I've been busy.
So, well, that's all right. So let me, you know, so anybody
we're always
doesn't,
busy.
You know, Darren McCarty used to really, really struggle with his alcohol problem. You know, he did for years.
I'll tell you a story.
But anyways, so he's a recovering alcoholic, and he has been for years, and he's done very well with it from what
him
we
and Probert lived down where I used to work, and my buddy that worked with us lived right next door to those guys and said they would pull up in their Harleys like at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning, and McCarty would dump his bike at the corner, couldn't even get to the driveway. Probert would be out there laughing at him, you know.
Right.
And this kid I worked with got to watch him, you know, come home because he lived like three doors. He was well to do, you know. But daddy made him get a job, and he got a job with us, you know. So, yeah, he just tells all these stories about McCarty and Probert and everybody on their Harleys coming back just messed up, jacked up. There's always a wrecker or a tow truck down at the end of the road pulling their bikes out of the ditch.
Superstars. Yep, too much money.
And if I'm lying, I will find Mr. T.
Yeah.
Tubbs. Mr. Tubbs. I'll find Tubbs, and he will confirm that story.
No, I can't argue with you. Both of them were known as very big partiers, and Darren,
well, they had a band.
Supposedly hasn't drank a drop since 2015. So that's and he's been doing a lot of good stuff since then. But
okay.
But most recently, McCarty, according to the Associated Press in Detroit, McCarty has formed a collaboration with Pincana, a cannabis company that is building a massive medical marijuana grow processing operation along I-75 in Pincana, north of Bay City.
Yep.
McCarty hopes to one day win a cannabis cup, a marijuana competition that's held all over the United States to rate different pot products.
Okay.
With his own strains of legal weed.
You know who else is doing that?
Who's that?
It's huge right now. Is the music biz is really pissed off at this guy. Lead singer Aerosmith. Jesus Christ. I want to say Mick Jagger.
No, it's not Jesus Christ.
It's not Jesus Christ.
No.
It's not Mick Jagger.
No, he gave up singing
Steven
about 2,000
Tyler.
Years ago.
Steven Tyler took off some time to, I missed that. I was looking the other way. I don't know what I was doing.
That's all right.
You laughing at me?
Yeah, a little bit.
Son of a bitch.
Watch your language, bud. We're on the air.
Hey, watch your fucking language around here. There's no swearing. Not on this show.
That's right. That's right. We try to keep it as clean as we can.
Sheesh, where did I go for that, man?
I don't know.
Teletubby
so anyways,
time. Do we have the Teletubby time?
So Steven Tyler is now...
Steven Tyler is has his own thing. Jesus Christ. Frank Zappa. Frank Sinatra. Jimmy Page. Not a singer. Yeah, the list goes on. Steven Tyler, he's taking over the world with his... It is Teletubby time. I'm so excited right now. Yay! Where's Jason at? He lost his mind for a moment. He went crazy, and we don't know when he's coming back. Teletubby time.
Time for Tubby bye-bye.
Teletubby time. Yeah, I don't think they're going to let a preacher man on the Teletubby show.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
That makes for a weird kid show.
Yeah. Yeah, it might.
I'm going to tell you with the rage of my hand and my staff, thou shall not pass.
None shall pass.
Moses.
So are you ever going to get around to finishing your story about Stephen Perry or?
Steven Tyler. So he's got his own weed.
Stephen Perry.
See, you're doing it.
Yeah, it's contagious.
Everybody doing locomotion. Forgot my brain now. So, yeah, he's got his own.
Oh, cool. You could be in a freak show.
I know, right? damn the rest of humanity except for the circus freaks. Somebody said that. I just read that somewhere. Said, Tom Watts. I think there was some, he's got a book. He's remastering all of his stuff from the 70s and this and that. Man, I listened to about 30 minutes of Tom Watts last night. I'm like, I'm just fascinated.
Okay.
But yeah, somebody said, damn the rest of the world and except for the circus freaks.
Except for the circus freaks.
So Steven Tyler, he's got his own weed, and he's ready to take over the world. So now the record companies are produced or that are the record companies that produce him are pissed off because he's supposed to be doing something else, and he's like, if I don't do this, then I'm gonna regret it forever, and this is what I'm doing. So he's got his own powwow.
Is he doing marijuana or the new CBD?
CBD, yeah. Yep, sorry. Yeah. Yep, CBD. So I'm sure there's whatever. They should probably get together.
I've heard a lot
unless Steven Tyler goes up against Darren McCarty in the cup.
right?
I'm down with that.
Battling out with the cannabis.
Shit, we're going to do that one, man.
Cover that story?
No, we'll be there. We're going to do the whole show is going to be that.
Well, schedule it. I don't remember. Isn't the Cannabis Cup usually in the spring? It seems like I remember Hash Bash always in April, and I always wanted to think that the Cannabis Cup was after that.
Like never maybe, been to either one of them. Be
like maybe
you.
A month. I went to Hash Bash, and that was a ton of fun. Yeah, that was years.
I'm not a big stoner, but
ago.
I'm stoned right now.
Well, I didn't.
No,
I don't.
Maybe
I don't
a little
know
bit.
If we were smoking. Everybody
remember.
Was smoking
I
out
if
the
I
Diag, but
or not.
Yeah, it was.
It's legal.
It
don't
was
shh me.
It was a neat experience.
Shushing me.
Glad we did it.
Here, hit this. You want to hit this? Kind of gets you by the boo boo, doesn't it?
Yeah, no doubt.
Kind of, are you smoking, man? I think it's Labrador, man. My dog ate my stuff, man.
Man, we're smoking dog shit, man.
I had to chase him around for 3 days, man, just to get my shit back, man.
Oh, well.
Gotta love the Cheech and the Chong.
Yeah, you have to. So the only thing I was going to cover tonight is I come across this the other day, and I thought it was pretty cool. It was the, I believe it comes from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and if it's published there somewhere, I never saw it. But I can tell you, when we were there last summer, we went through that place like a whirlwind. I could spend.
You did tell me about that
a whole day
there. When you guys got back.
Yep. But
Very cool.
But I come across this article, and I can't even tell you. It looks like it's from the Expo in Cleveland, ExpoCleveland.com, Life and Culture. But this is the 200 most essential songs in rock and roll history.
Holy, we got time for that?
Yeah, we're going to do 200. You don't mind, do you?
Mother. God. All right. Are you gonna play song? Like, how many times are we going to get, like, in trouble for doing this?
No, I wasn't going to play through them all, but I thought it was a pretty cool list.
No, we're going to do 200 songs. We'll catch it. This is like a 48-hour marathon right now. We really want you to stay awake and stay tuned for this one, because this one's
going to
be.
So hold on, because we're going to, so we got to play a song for every, we got to play a version of the song for every one of these I read off, starting at number 200, so I hope you guys all got some time. We're going to be here a minute.
Hey, can you tell me my PIN number over the podcast?
Can you look at the safe and figure it out yourself?
Oh. What?
What?
There it is. I know.
Oh, where is he at?
That's why we did that. We got it. Because I'm gonna get in some drops. You're gonna run some stuff. This show is about to get nuts up in here. We ain't been together in like what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? I don't even know, man. We've been trying to get these shows out to you guys, and you know, we just got so much stuff. That's what we're doing. But back to the t-shirts real quick. We are trying Lil Jon. We're trying to get some t-shirts, so you know, hang in there. And it's only gonna be a limited edition, like 100 shirts, and that's it.
One run, we're done
for a minute.
Yep, for the first one anyways.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Yep.
But
that way if you got one, man, you're in the club, you can be in the 100 club.
That sounds cool.
That's what we might call it, the 100 club.
The 100 club.
The 100%. Yeah, the 100%ers, Little John. What? When did he walk in? I didn't see him.
You didn't see him? Yeah, he's just. He's over there making himself a drink, but he'll be right
what?
Back. Actually, I don't think Little John drinks anymore either.
Not a drinker?
No, another quitter.
Jeez.
Another quitter.
Don't quit.
No, so I didn't figure we'd go through all 200 of these, but you're still trying to figure out how to get where you're going, aren't you?
Yeah, I got the pin.
Yeah.
I got the pin.
So you got it there. But I'll start at number 20. Number 20. This is on the top 200. But if you ever get a chance, look it up. It's pretty cool, and we'll try to put a link to this on our show notes too, so you can check this out yourself. But number 20,
of course we are.
Fats Domino.
That's what we do for you.
Ain't that a shame?
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
There you go.
I remember.
Sing it, preacher man.
Yeah, I remember.
Number 19, Johnny Cash.
I walked the line.
That's the one.
I walked the line.
That's the one. And it's funny, you know, you look at some of these and it's going, it wasn't really rock and roll, but you know what?
It was a good movie.
Back then, it kind of was.
I really did like that movie.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, I'm eating some cheese and crackers. I am probably some cucumber and salsa.
Don't
and
chew directly into the microphone.
Might turn out to be a drop.
Number 18 is Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come. I'm drawing a blank on that. You got
it? Yeah, Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan did
Change
that.
Change is going to come. Yep. Change is going to come.
A bunch of people did that one.
I'm drawing a complete blank on it. Hum a few bars.
Mmm. Got a mouthful of cheese.
That'll make it even better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, times they are changing, Bob Dylan.
Yeah, no, that's a Change is going to come.
Change is going to come. That's a different song.
I can't.
I really wasn't around for this, but I remember it.
Change is going to come.
Sam Cooke.
Yeah, Sam Cooke. Huh.
Sounds like something Sid would play in the daytime at.
Wow. How old is this?
That's what I mean. I wasn't around for this.
Oh, I do remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I remember
listening on radio.
Let me jump ahead.
Back in the.
Yeah, I 70s. Do remember this.
Motown, baby.
Yep. Sure is.
Mm-hmm.
Sure is. Well, very nice.
Mm hmm.
Sam Cooke, number 18.
I want to say might have been part of Sam and Dave, but I don't quote me on that. I'm not sure.
That's possible.
Might have been Sam from Sam and Dave. I mean, they put out some good songs. Sam and Dave.
Yep. Then number 17 is Little Richard, Tutti Frutti.
Okay.
And everybody knows a little Tutti Frutti.
And what are these? The what?
So these are the top 200 most essential songs in rock and roll history.
Oh, my God, 200. I thought there was only 20.
Yeah. No, I just went down to the top 20 because I figured we didn't want to be here. We didn't want to be here till Tuesday.
All right. No, run it.
The Ronettes.
Mm.
Be My Baby.
Be my baby.
Close enough.
Number 15,
there it is.
Bob Dylan, Blowing in the Wind.
Blowing in the Wind.
Oh, and there's a,
they can do it.
Yep, I remember that one for sure. Number 17, Blowing in the Wind.
Like a little rabbit over here. Cucumbers. I heard something about cucumbers. 90% water, breaks up kidney stones, lowers blood sugar, go on and on. Something about cucumbers. So, I'm living proof that
nice.
I do eat my vegetables.
Good boy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, number
I know where you're going.
14, Otis Redding.
Mm-hmm.
We all know which one that is.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting in the morning sun.
Sitting on the usually dock of the bay.
Usually hear this. Wow, I just spit a half of my
watching the ships rolling.
Cucumber out of mouth. Didn't want to say that too loud.
Right.
But, usually played once a day at the bar because it's right there. Because it's right there.
Okay.
They can't help it. They go by it, they play it.
Yeah.
It's
number 14.
Just
one
of those songs.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. It's a good one. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I've always loved it. It's just one of those songs you always want them to turn up and listen to. It's. I don't know.
That's usually what they tell me.
Can
you turn it up?
Yeah, I guess if I heard it every day, it might get old, but I still love it. That's a good old classic. Elvis Presley, Jailhouse Rock, comes in at number 13.
I did like the Elvis there for a little while.
You know.
It was a thing. I was like, okay, I got to see what the Elvis thing's all about.
I
did the Zeppelin. I did the Floyd. I did the Doors. Did the Who. Went through all the greats, you know. And I just need something else, man. So I just sat down one day and I was like, man, I got to listen to some Elvis. Whole thing started with rock and roll. Now it's out of control.
Yeah, you know what?
That's a Ray Manzarek album.
I never.
From the Doors.
I was never, ever an Elvis fan at all. And I don't know what it was.
I was an Elvis fan, but there was a phase where I was down with the Elvis, you know?
I knew so many people that loved Elvis, and he was just the thing. And
there's a lot of people out there right now that still are.
And I think I just avoided it because of that fact, because there were so many.
I know a few of them. That's what
you know, so, but the one thing that turned
what
me
are you doing?
Onto Elvis was we watched an HBO documentary last year on him, and it was awesome. And I actually learned so much about him that what's going on over here?
I have no idea. There's a smorgasbord of cheese and salsa and red peppers, cucumbers, pineapple, green peppers. Summer sausage, crackers, carrots, broccoli. I don't know. It looks like sushi, grapes.
Oh, that's peanut butter and celery.
It's peanut butter jelly time.
Peanut butter jelly time. Yeah. Ow. So I was never truly an Elvis fan, but that was just my thing. I just didn't. Oh, I don't know. I didn't care. But yeah, that HBO documentary was pretty cool. I enjoyed that, and it kind of changed my whole perspective on him. And looking at him going through his years and the changes in the styles of music and going into the movies and his whole Christian experience, you know, and how he ventured off into that. And yeah, he went through a lot of stuff in his very short life, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I guess I never knew that much about him.
We did watch. I do remember everybody in the world just sat down to watch Elvis, and it was like at TV. And it was his last performance, but I don't know if it was like, this is my last performance. You know, I don't know if it was all that.
Yeah,
I just know he did a concert and it was on TV and everybody sat down and watched it. Elvis was on TV, man.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, that was like 78, and then he did the boom, boom, you know, Speedball.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gotcha, sucker.
Became his bitter end.
Yep.
And I got a little clip in here. Let's see. Elvis had several major hits before 1957, but Jailhouse Rock would take him to a whole other level thanks to its movie performance that many consider to be the first actual music video. So,
who?
Jailhouse Rock. Number 13.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Number 13.
He's in the jailhouse.
Yep. Yep.
You're in the jailhouse now.
And then at number 12, we got your favorite, Marvin Gaye.
What's going on?
It's funny. You listen to some of these, and they almost seem kind of soft to be on a rock, you know, a rock essentials list. But this was the rock that was, you know, that was back then. I grew up on it. I'd love to see the decision on what made these, you know, what little more description like that one about Elvis. I'd love to see that. You know, what made you think that this was? Where'd that decision come from? And then, of course, we can't forget coming in at number 11, Beatles. Strawberry yep. Fields Forever.
Forever and ever.
Yeah, and ever that was huge. And then who's that?
That's Mike.
Mikey?
Yeah.
What song you think it is?
I didn't see it.
Coming in at number 10.
Billie Jean.
Yeah, Billie Jean.
Son of a bitch.
That's the one. Number 10, most essential.
Not my kid. It's not my kid.
Yeah, don't start going where Dave Chappelle went.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, you missed that part of Dave Chappelle. He gets in a little Michael thing in the middle of it. That's pretty funny too. that's not Michael Jackson.
Sure wasn't.
Oh well. So
whoopsie.
Whoopsie doodle. Oh, there we go. Here's a little blip about it. Looking back, Billie Jean was always going to be a song that Michael Jackson made him the biggest pop star in history. From the legendary Motown 25 performance where he did the moonwalk dance to the iconic music video. For all the well-deserved credit, Thriller gets a groundbreaking visual. The clip for Billie Jean is what cemented Jackson as a star and fully destroyed any racial barriers MTV still had up.
Yeah. Probably did.
Oh, look at number 9.
That's my jam. That's my jam.
There'd be nothing like Purple Haze. Jimi Hendrix's guitar anthem was a forceful addition to the psychedelic rock genre.
And I forgot Jimmy, and when I said that stuff about Zeppelin and all that, I went through my Jimi Hendrix phase.
So hard-hitting really in the deep. Fact it would essentially push boundaries of blues into what we know as hard rock. And that's true. That yeah. That anthem. That
oh,
anthem.
Jimmy was there for me, man.
Yep.
I still go back to Jimmy. I don't give a shit. I'll always go back to Jimmy. I still play Jimmy. I play Jimmy. I think every time I walk up jukebox, I play Jimmy.
I think every time he comes Foxy on, I turn him up just a little bit.
Are you experienced?
Yeah.
Born Under a Bad Sign, Crosstown Traffic. Man, I go on and on and on.
Yep.
Those are my jams.
Nope. And good ones at that.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8 is Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah, when that hit the scene, everybody went nuts.
That kind of changed.
Nobody ever heard a song like that before.
You know, and Rock Essential is probably a good way to put that because Smells Like Teen Spirit with Nirvana once again changed the rock and roll world, you know, as far as that was the transition from we were kind of at that point right now where we were just coming off the hair bands. And things were drifting off into alternative and you know, the transition from the punk, and now we're at the new wave.
Yeah, 80s were over.
And yeah.
80s were over, and grunge was coming up, man.
Yep.
And a lot of people were angry that the 80s ended. I was, for sure.
Right,
know.
Right.
But we, at that time, grunge, I don't think it's what we... What the 80s people wanted.
No.
And it was going, and we kind of knew it was the end of an era.
For sure.
And
you had.
And we were so mad that there just wasn't any good bands out there.
There was two.
So mad that just everybody
different.
Sucked.
Yep.
Because it wasn't what I needed. It wasn't what I wanted. It didn't have the feel to it. It wasn't, you know, it was this grungy stuff, you know. But later on, man, you respect it. Because,
yep.
You know, it did change. It changed everybody there for a little bit. No?
No. Nope.
One song did it, and that was Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit. It just did.
Well, summed up right there.
Da-dum.
Hair metal had run its course.
Oh, you got something?
And a new generation of rock fans simply
didn't. Look, I haven't even read this. I can't even see that far. I got stage 2 glaucoma. I'm not kidding. I got to go have laser surgery in the morning. That ain't no lie. I can't even see what's up there on that. So... What I said, you go ahead.
No, I want
to know.
So,
what it says.
So their report says, in so many ways, it feels obvious. Hair metal had run its course, and a new generation of rock fans simply didn't give a you know what about anything.
I said it.
In other ways, its most unlikely list. We don't like big words around here.
We don't like big words around here.
In other ways, its most unlikely list. Likeliest of cultural anthems. How did three slackers from Seattle create the ultimate rock song of the last 30 years? Kurt Cobain did his homework,
yep.
Emulating pop savvy, alt rock, and his younger years of giving it a bit that drives. Smells Like Teen Spirit. Yeah, that's
sounds about right.
That's a good one. Yeah, you're right. That's a yeah, that was a time. That was
that's the truth. I didn't even see it coming. Didn't even know it was happening. But I said it.
Did you write the article?
I could have,
because it kind of sounded like it. Sounded like it come from your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good one. Part of a new generation.
Mm-hmm. The video made that song too.
Yeah, it did. Well, and that was when videos were kind of just really coming into mainstream, as you know, late '80s, early '90s, and so yeah, that
yeah,
helped
mainstream.
A lot too. But
MTV should have just stuck with what they do best.
No kidding. No
Come
kidding.
On. If you're my age, you know why I'm mad about it.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
Younger crowd, maybe not so much, but when it was music and they still played all that stuff, the Headbangers Ball and all.
Right.
All the cool DJs that were on there. Even if they weren't cool, we still made fun of them. Martha Quinn. Jesus, man. Kurt Loder. Oh, man. What was the guy?
Nina.
Nina?
Nina Blackwell.
Ah. Vicky Ratman. Yep. Headbangers Ball.
Headbangers Ball, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, coming in at, right. Where are we at? Number 7, Ray Charles. What did I say?
Ray Charles. I like some Ray Charles.
I do, too.
I'm pretty much sure I probably like every probably song. If I had to listen to Ray Charles all day, I'd probably never get bored.
No.
I could do it.
Here's where Ray Charles invented the highly influential subgenre of R&B music known as soul. Mm. What did I say is the blueprint. Soul. For the hit music that would come out of Atlantic Records, Stax, and Motown.
You got soul.
Yep. And then number 6 is Bob Dylan.
Again?
Like a Rolling Stone.
He was there.
Yep. Yeah, he did. Another song. He did that folk thing with him. The moment that took Bob Dylan from the modest folk hero to the nationwide rock star. It's hard to describe just how powerful a track like a Rolling Stone was in making Dylan the voice of a generation.
Mm-hmm. My favorite album, Bob Dylan, Time Out of Mind. It's a newer, not a newer one. It's probably been around 20 years or whatever. But Time Out of Mind, the name of the song is called Not Dark Yet. It's my favorite song. Just is.
From Bob Dylan.
And it's a great album. It's a super great album. And I'm going to clue you in, not to get way too off track here, but I'm going to listen to a whole bunch of Tom Watts, and then we're going to play some Tom Watts.
I like Tom Watts.
Little thingy there.
Yeah.
Might even do like a half a show just dedicate Tom Watts.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah,
for sure.
I don't see why not.
I like him.
Mm-hmm.
I like him a lot.
Interesting.
Yep.
Man, more I see this guy, more I like him, you know, every time.
He's a good one.
Just plays in some great, you know, some movies, and he's got his own videos. He's just, you know, he's his own person, man. Doing whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever comes out of him just comes out of him, and that's what you get.
Exactly.
I don't think he gives a fuck. If you look at him, I don't think the guy, I think the guy made a deal with the devil, and he won. That's what Tom Watts reminds me of.
Kind of.
He went down to hell, made a deal with the devil, and probably got the devil to sell him a soul. I got the devil's soul.
You know who number 5 is?
Mm-mm.
Somebody we just lost this past year.
Yeah.
Yeah. They called her the Queen of Soul.
I told you I worked on her house, didn't I?
No.
Yeah, I did.
No.
Yeah. Lived in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, they just put that house up for sale. That was...
Been there. I guarantee you, look in the backyard. There's a heart-shaped spa. Off to the side of the pool. It's a heart-shaped, big, huge sauna. Not sauna. Spa. Yeah. Closed it, winterized it, opened her pool, closed her pool.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she lives right next to Mitch Albom.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, did his pool, too. Did that whole, it's a private drive. You just walk, you know, there's probably about 4 or 5 houses. But they're all celebrity, you know, celebrity status.
Right,
you know,
right.
They're all in that club.
Right in that group.
That's their club. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Can't remember who else lives around there, but I definitely did Aretha Franklin and Mitch Albom, their neighbors.
Well, she came in at number 5 on the all-time most essential songs in rock and roll.
Hey,
so
she deserves
and
it.
And that is a big one. I mean, it's, you know, it's been played and overplayed and replayed and played and played again. But,
I'll give it to her.
Aretha is as good as she was and as bad as she was and as messy as she was and as beautiful she was. She was definitely very influential in the rock and roll and R&B world, without a doubt.
Yeah, I just heard something about her. She was one of the few people that back in the day, because people were getting ripped off, they would get paid after the show. Aretha wanted her money in her hand before she went on stage. You give me my money before I even go out there.
Yeah.
She did it. That's a true story.
She had a reputation for stiffing.
That's one thing for sure I know about
everybody,
her.
Too. She always wanted her money, and she stiffed everybody.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to say it, but I heard it.
No, there's story upon story upon story about how she handled her employees and how she took care of people. So
well, I'm sure.
She definitely lived the lifestyle. But yeah, God bless her.
I know more. I'm just not.
I don't blame you.
I'm not elaborating.
I don't blame you. I don't think I would either.
I know way too much.
let her rest in peace.
Let's just say, you know the expression, clean up your own backyard.
Yeah. Well, that's no secret because when Drew and Mike were on the air when they
clean
were doing the doing the show, Mike
she needed to clean up her backyard.
Mike Clark was a airplane pilot. He had his pilot's license, so he would always take out his prop plane, and he'd go fly around, around Detroit, go out for a fly, and he always had stories about going over Aretha's house, because.
Are you kidding me?
No, he'd tell stories all the time, and he'd talk about he got messed up on this. There was this, of course, her pool was full of garbage. Her pool never had water in it.
I can't believe you just said that.
No, this is on.
You cannot tell me that because I was there. I've seen it.
I was trying to figure out when you were winterizing her pool. What did you have to do? Take all the furniture out of it, the garbage, because
there's so many bags of KFC like chicken bones that the dogs had chewed up and left the garbage all over her backyard.
Yeah.
Dude, there's no way you could know this story.
It used to make him nuts.
Because I was there.
Because he would go fly over her house. That was one of his spots that he would go when he was out flying. He'd fly over her house, and then he'd come on the show the next day. And everybody listened to Drew and Mike back in those days.
Oh,
remember these stories about Mike Clark? Mike Clark talking, just going on a rant about, he went on this rant for almost a year. Every time he'd be out,
can't make this
she
up.
She had a bobcat in her backyard that sat there for no apparent reason, never moved, but there was a bobcat in her backyard for like over a year.
I don't remember that. But, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, just... there was story upon story from Mike.
Well, I tell you this,
Drew and Mike show talking about it.
I tell you this, that's true because we went back there to let us know that we're here. The pool company I work for. Yeah, we're here. Yeah, we're gonna close your pool. Okay, no problem. Go around the back. There's 15. I've told this story to people. Yeah, 15 bags of garbage.
No kidding.
Chicken bones. Like, just whatever got in there, squirrels, raccoons, anything, just tore it.
Well, don't worry. You're not putting nothing out there. You're not going to get in trouble because you ain't putting nothing out that it isn't already out there.
Just threw it all over the place. We're like,
saying.
I would call back and we're like, man, do you guys know? They're like, just do it. I don't care if it takes you all day. Do it. I'm like, well, I'm not cleaning this up. Like, I didn't clean it up for sure.
Right.
I just did my job. That was it. I just got in there, closed the pool, did this and that. Yeah.
Yep. Well,
you still have to blow, even if there's no water in it, you still have to blow antifreeze through the lines.
Right.
We hook up CO2 tanks and pressurize the whole system and then blow antifreeze till you see pink come out, one of the return holes or whatever.
Did you have to move all the garbage out of the way of the inlet so it
there
didn't suck
was
no chicken
a
bones
little bit just in my way, which I did touch, which I got us so mad. And it was cold as ice. It was cold out that day. It was like November. She was like one of the last ones on the list. Like, we're like the only last two guys left before everybody gets laid off.
Right.
Hey, you want to work? We had November 15th. Close the pool, make some money.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Where are we going? Oh, Aretha Franklin. Cool. No, not cool. Not cool at all. Fell in the spa. He was trying to plug the spa down a little bit further than he should have. This is about a 300. Oh, I said his name. We're going to have to edit that. Mark it, please.
I'm on the wrong screen. Just, sorry about that.
No, just put it in there.
Yeah.
So I got to get rid of his name. So anyway, he fell. He's about 300 pounds. He fell in the pool.
Okay.
Or the spa. Damn it. Yeah. Our hands are so cold, man. We had so much, anybody know what Cornhuskers is, lotion?
Oh, yeah.
It works great.
It does.
So we just, have four or five pair of gloves, man, because you just get wet and just slap that Cornhuskers on there, stick it in there, sit in the van for 15 minutes, and then, try to do what you had to do, man. Yeah. Jesus, man, my hands were just ice froze, man. I don't even know what I was thinking. It's like I climbed the side of a mountain with my bare hands or something. Anyway,
well,
he fell in the spa and he was 300 pounds. He was so pissed. He was freezing. He had a good, we had to leave. It wasn't a good day.
No.
It did take all day.
No.
Well, he was mad. He only lived right, not very far away, so we didn't. He did go home and change and warm up. I was still freezing. I did get to sit in the van for about a half an hour and actually get warm.
Aye.
No.
Yeah, that's funny.
Where
we never
go,
heard that, but yeah, that's
you don't even know.
Story could, about story upon story upon
we could talk
story
about we could talk about bell bottoms and it'll just lead for like an hour into, you know, something about the Bee Gees or something.
Well, back to number four. Number four is the Beach Boys.
You're in charge.
Any idea what Beach Boys tune? Take a stab at it.
I can't see it, to be honest with you.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's not on the screen anyway, so you can't cheat. I was just
hoping
it's
got to be Good Vibrations.
You got it. Spot on.
Yeah.
Number
four. It has to be.
Number four. Chuck Berry kind of surprised me. He comes in at number three. Any idea what Chuck Berry tune? Yeah, you won't.
Tutti Frutti or something?
Maybelline.
Maybelline.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can hear it. I was looking for it, but I was having a hard time finding it. I was going to play a little bit of Maybelline, but I can't even find it for you. But, yeah, Chuck Berry comes in at number three.
Okay.
And then the last two.
Yeah, that was me smoking a cigarette, blowing smoke through the microphone.
Last two.
Just in case you want, you know what that sounds like.
Last two, most essential. Take a stab. What two artists are on the top two most essential rock and roll artists?
Rock and roll. I gotta go with Rolling Stones. And I gotta pick two.
Yeah, the top two.
Gotta
go back.
Way back further.
Way back. The top two.
Wow. Before the Rolling Stones?
Mm-hmm.
So are we talking the 50s?
Yeah, 50s and 60s.
Oh, jeez. I honestly, you stumped me. I can't think of anything right now.
Well, number two is the Beatles, and I can't believe this is one because we just spent, I don't know, half hour on them on episode eight, but not that you remember much of episode eight, but that's all right.
Neither do you. That's why we had to do so much editing.
That's right. Had to listen to it two or three times just to remember what happened.
Yeah, who wants to listen to that again? No, I didn't. You said 50, 60, so I wasn't thinking of Beatles.
And then
I think Beatles, I think 70s.
Yeah,
or 64 at least into 1970 when they broke up, whatever.
And then, I don't know what year that was. I Want to Hold Your Hand. That probably would have been the '70s, wouldn't it?
No. It would have been. They broke up in the '70s, man.
It says the sound of the Beatles invading America. I Want to Hold Your Hand was a hit that couldn't be stopped and announced 64. The arrival of a group that would become pop god. So this is just when they got here.
Maybe 64.
If you want an idea how crazy it was, just listen to the Ed Sullivan Show performance of the song.
Right.
Prepare yourself for an endless number of teenage screams.
Oh, I've seen it.
Well, I have too. Everybody's seen that Ed Sullivan
seen that
clip. Yeah. But you're right. That probably was in the, I don't know, mid-60s?
It had to be 64 when the British invasion came over.
Yeah.
That was 64.
I wasn't around then, so I don't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, number one is Elvis Presley with Hound Dog.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog.
There you go. Sing it, preacher
man.
If the point of this list, if the point of a list like this is to pinpoint the movement where rock and roll took off as a revolution, then this is it. And I agree with that 100%. Elvis did nothing else. He really changed, and rock and roll had begun before Elvis, but Elvis changed rock and roll forever.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I've heard it too.
It's not an original, as Elvis wasn't the first person to tackle Hound Dog, but he was the man who made it a national craze.
Right. Everybody took it. Hey, you want to play my song? Play my song. Play my song. You know, they didn't care back then. Yep. They weren't thinking about royalties and how much we're going to make off of this, and we're just doing some cocaine with Johnny and... Yeah, we're rolling around the country, man.
Yep.
Rock and rolling.
Yep. So.
Oh, there's stories with Elvis and Johnny Cash and Oh, I can see his face. Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All those guys used to party pretty hard. I mean, probably part of I ever partied.
Yeah. From
walking the line watching that movie. Johnny partied pretty hard. Whoa! Those are good times. Hey, they had their fun. They got their kicks.
So, yeah, good thing we didn't do 200 because that was just a little clip for you. That was the top 20 from the 200 most important songs in rock and roll history, according to Troy Smith at the Expo Cleveland. So,
nice.
So, yeah, a little something for you. And I guess there's actually a list that's in the, and like I said, I never saw it when we were there, but there's a list of 500 songs that are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that is, if you are a music fan of any kind, especially if you're a rock and roll fan, that is worth the trip. Little trip down to Cleveland.
Yeah, I think we did it last summer. Next,
and I'll tell you what, in a way, I look at it two ways. In a way, I wish my boy wasn't there, but then at the same time, I wish my boy was a little older because, you know, I mean, he enjoyed it. He really did. But we, you know, there was no dilly dallying. You know, we weren't spending too much time in any one section, and you could spend
be there all day.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there was so much stuff, so much neat stuff. So, that's about it for that. I think we covered most everything that I hadn't thought about since.
Yeah,
the last
I really
time
didn't.
I didn't
prepare myself so much since we were only doing what episode nine and a half. We were priming you guys up for episode 10.
Just to make sure that you guys knew that there was not going
to
be
an
episode and see if you were paying attention, and we wanted to make sure you had some reason to listen to us in between waiting for us and going, where are those goofy...
You can say it. Goofy bastards.
No, I can't. You know, here, we'll let him say it.
I did say it.
We are a bunch of goofy motherfuckers.
Ooh, you swore.
He says it better than I do anyways.
Oh, we talked about him.
Yep. So, yeah, I don't know if you didn't plan on doing a top 11 tonight, did you? I think we just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that keep an eye out for us for the 21st.
I really had a bunch of stuff that I saved, but I really didn't get to my, you know, things that I want to talk about I save and go back to them and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
There's just too much going on here that I saved and really didn't focus on one thing.
It's been kind of crazy this last couple of weeks. So, and I'm sure whatever happened, you know, it's kind of like the cycle we're in right now. Whatever happened is going to happen again next week, and it'll probably happen again the following week. And it'll just, the names will change, but the stories will stay the same.
Okay. And you can't make that up.
No, it'll happen again.
So what did I show you earlier? I said I sent you something, but now it won't resize or.
Oh
looks
yeah,
like some of the words.
Yeah, that one thing you sent me. That's a good one. We should save that, and that. Right.
Well, I'll do it with my.
Oh, you got it.
Stage 2 glaucoma. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, see so here it is. This is just something that just caught my eye that I shared with Scott earlier. Some people aren't good at asking for help because they're so used to being the helper. Throughout their life, they've experienced an unbalanced give and take. So their instinct is usually, I'll figure it out on my own. The self-reliance is all they've ever known. So, I don't know who said it. There's nobody there. It's just out there. It's in black and white somewhere. Thought it was kind of profound, I guess. You know, make you open your eyes, I guess. However which way it influences you. You know, take it with a grain of salt.
Yep.
But yeah, just some wisdom or somebody just wanted to express themselves and put it out there, and there's no name to it.
No, that fits a lot of people though.
You know, but yeah, you know, you give, you take. And when someone gives to you, you know, it does feel, especially if you were the giver, you know.
Right, right.
And you're always used to, you know, someone giving stuff to you. You don't know how to take it sometimes. It does feel... You know, it is an overwhelming kind of feeling. It's like, oh, cool, somebody actually did something for me.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure. Mean? Yeah.
So I think that kind of rolls in with the pay it forward. You know, I did it the other day. Sitting at McDonald's because I needed something quick. And all those people sitting in those McDonald's line, man, pay it forward. You know, hey, got the thing. And I was like, how much? Because she let me through because I got cut off by a... Yeah. So... They wouldn't let me in, so they doubled you know, doubled up and didn't let me in. But this lady let me in. So that was very nice. We had a nice little moment waving to each other and, you know, exchanging, you know, okay, courtesy, you know. So I was like, all right. So she let me go. I was up first. And I was like, well, all right, what's she having? She goes, all she's having is a medium iced tea, light ice. I was like, that's it? I said, gave her a 10. I said, just keep it. Just pay for hers or whatever.
Nice.
So I made sure she seen me when I rolled away or whatever. And she's sticking her hand out the window, you know.
Okay.
You know, just a good little, I've done it before.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a cool little feeling.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Somebody I do it the other way. I like to go into a, you know, a restaurant like the Coney Island or something. When I get up to the, you know, while we're eating dinner or having lunch or whatever, I'll talk to somebody in the booth next to me at least enough to get their name. And then when I get up to the register, I just leave my check on the table and just tell the girl at the register, oh yeah, Bob over there said he's got that. Thanks, Bob, and I'll wave at him. Oh, yeah. You know, and yeah, out the door I go. So
what do they call that? That's a
it's not really a dine and dash. It's
dine and dash.
Well, not really.
No, not really.
No,
because Bob paid for it.
I assigned it to Bob. It's not my fault that he said hi to me.
And that's funny because half the time they drop off the check. I go, I don't want that.
Is that called pay it backward?
Like, yeah, pay it backward. Pay it backward.
We're going to start a new trend.
Whoa.
Till it happens
Imagine
to me
that.
One time,
yeah.
Then I'll be pissed.
And you're sitting there.
And when it happens to me, it'll be somewhere like, I don't know, the River Crab or something like right. that, where the, you know, the be out there at the Darryl's Steakhouse, you know. It'd be, it'd be like a $60 tab. Yeah, thanks, Scott.
Waving out the door. Yep.
That Scooter, he says he got that for me. Yep. He's a good guy. I like that guy.
See that guy over there?
Yeah. Of course, that's something that Wayne would do to me any given day. So what's the difference? So you said you want to throw that joke of the week out there? Or didn't you have a joke of the week you were telling me earlier? Or
shoot.
You're going to make me pause, cut, edit, and drag that out of the pre-show and throw it in there? Or we just
throw it in there right now?
Skip the show or skip
even do
the
that?
Joke? Or, oh, I can do anything.
You can't stop. Well, we would have to stop the show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
You don't even remember what the joke was. I had you.
No,
I don't. I had you on a tangent earlier. You told a joke, and there it was. And
yeah,
now it left your mind. It's good stuff.
Good
I
stuff.
I like it.
Time keeps on slipping.
Oh, well.
So, here's the joke. How much cocaine can Rob Lowe do?
I don't know.
Or shit. All right, edit, cut. We're not starting the show yet.
No, we didn't start the show yet.
How much cocaine can Charlie Sheen do? Enough for 2.5 men. To
so,
the future.
Well, like I said, so you guys know, make sure you check us out on iTunes because we're now officially on there. I'll tell you what, that was a feat. I tried my best and I worked at it. I'm gonna tell you what, Preacher Man, it took me probably 3 weeks.
I know, I got the text.
3 weeks. Yep. And I went, I can't believe I finally got this done. I all of a sudden got an email, and I don't even know, because all the ways and the things I went through to do it, I have no idea how they got my email address to email me the confirmation, because it came right to our email.
Okay.
It came to mail at Two Guys in a Bottle of, and I'm like,
oh,
I didn't even think I did it right yet, so.
That's awesome.
So, anyway.
No, he texted
so,
me, and I was like, holy crap, that's
so,
really cool.
So, yeah,
that's
we're on
Apple,
iTunes now.
Apple,
yep, iTunes, Google, obviously Podbean.
Yeah,
we got a few more to worry about, but I mean, those are the main ones. And of course, you can always find us at the website, twoguysinabottleof.com. Make sure to keep an eye on your Facebook page. We're going to try to get some stuff out there and let you know what's up for episode 10. We're going to try to do a live broadcast for you so you can see our faces or lack of faces, because yeah, nobody really wants to see that.
Why not?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. And the messy studio that, you know, I don't know. Preacher Man already cleaned it up once for us, but
yeah, we'll get there.
He's due for another round. We just
no, it's just a studio in Kimball, Kentucky. It's what we're doing, man. No,
heck yeah,
yeah,
heck yeah.
Why not?
So yeah, we're looking forward to it. So just to let everybody know, we're gonna be pausing for a week and try to get everything together to get that next episode out there for you. But keep an eye, and I keep saying the 22nd, this is the 21st. So sometime early evening on the 21st, we'll be out there live. And, of course, you can always download the show from the normal spots.
Yep.
And that's all I got. You got anything else this week?
Well, I'm going to make you, because listening to episode 9 last night, need that subliminal stuff on the end of the show.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. I look forward to it. After the music's gone, and it's just kind of that simple thing. It's like a Limp Bizkit thing at the end. If you don't listen to it all the way through, you'll never hear it.
Make sure you stick around for the end of the show tonight, then. Yeah. Listen to it to the very end, because we got something for you at the end coming out of here.
Yeah,
so
a little bit subliminal.
Who knows what it is? It might even be a little bit of Dave Chappelle played backwards, but we'll find out.
Right. That might even sound funnier.
So,
as funny as it already is.
In the meantime, folks, That's the end of this one. Show 9.5.
9.5. We're just going to go with it. We're just going to make it too easy for everybody.
9.5, and we'll see everybody on the 22nd.
All right.
And we
are out.
No.
No.
No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No. No.